Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11 is what we want to look at this morning. We're going to take a break this morning from the book of Luke because it is Father's Day. What an important day this is. Our nation is facing many crises, many, many, and it is a result of our sin. As a nation, we are a sinful nation. There's no way to put it other than that. We have been a good nation in a lot of ways. We've done a lot of good around the world. But at the same time, we have done a lot of evil around the world. And when I say that evil, what I mean is things like we are the largest exporter of pornography in all the world, and it isn't even close. It is a multi-billion dollar industry around the world, and we are the great supplier of the filth around the world. And that's just one industry. We could talk about music, and I cannot even describe to you the things that our music industry is now promoting. I saw recently of just one clip from a concert of a very well-known artist, and I could not describe to you in mixed company what was going on stage by this person who's from the United States and listened to all around the world. And I would be embarrassed even to say it in front of a group of only grown married men. That's how filthy it is. What a wicked nation we have become. One of the crises that we are facing is in fatherhood. We are missing godly leaders as dads. So these days, as we celebrate Father's Day, it's an important day. It's an important day because we may not be able to automatically, with a snap of our fingers, change the world, as in suddenly make America be a land where fatherhood is once again exalted and lifted up and looked at as important, and they're godly fathers, etc. I may not be able to change that around the world and specifically here in our nation, but here's what I can do. I can look inward and say, what about me? What about how I'm doing as a dad? And because God has given me the great privilege and opportunity to pastor a church, I can then, from the pulpit, declare this is what God says dads should be. And men, I want to encourage you that if you are a father, you are important. And I would say this is my opinion, okay? My opinion is that in your home, there's no one more important than you. And when I say more important, I don't mean that you should be the one to always get everything you want. That's not what I'm talking about, that kind of most important. I'm saying you're the most important as in the way you go is the way the home will go. I don't know that anybody has a greater effect on the home than dad. We normally say it's mom, but we're wrong. It's dad. God set it up that the father, the husband, is the head of the home. And where the head goes, the body goes. So men, it is our responsibility. If there's a failure in the home, the buck stops here. It's my problem if my home's not what it ought to be. Not my wife's, not the kids, it's me. So today, I want to encourage you in an area where I believe all of us could grow. And I believe that it will be a help and a blessing to you as we look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11. Let's look at that verse there where it says, "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." Let me read it again. "He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding." Here we have a passage of scripture in the book of Proverbs that, like all of the Proverbs, is a true principle that God has placed in life. Now, many of the Proverbs will have things that are absolute statements or one thing or another, and I don't want to get into what Proverbs are this and what Proverbs are that, but this is one of those Proverbs that is God giving us wisdom for life, as in, here is a principle that if you could write down, you would be wise because it will help you to understand how you should live your life. It is what we would call a maxim. It's a truth that when applied to life will help you. And so I want to make an application to this that's outside of just maybe what we would automatically think of when we read the verse. But I think it's the reason why God gave the verse is so that we could take this principle and then apply it to many different areas in our life, not just if you are a farmer. But this is a principle that will help all of us, and specifically for us as dads today. Those of you who are not dads, let me encourage you, don't fall asleep. There is application for you as well. The same truth can be applied many, many different ways. And I believe the Holy Spirit will apply it to your life as well as we go through this message that I've entitled, Make the Choice to Till. Make the choice to till. Let's pray and then we'll get right into it. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving me the great privilege and the honor to be able to stand behind this pulpit and not talk about what is on my mind and heart, but what your word says. Now, Lord, you know that my nature is to just talk about what's on my mind and heart. But Lord, that would be vanity and it would make no difference in the lives of your people. But I ask your Lord that instead you would enable me by your Spirit to speak about what your word says. And Lord, to make application to your people in a way that will help them. Lord, I pray then that you would give them ears to hear and all of us ears to hear. Lord, that they would hear your direction, not mine. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, make the choice to till. I've divided the message up into really two, we might say, points or parts. The first part is I want to give you my thoughts from meditating on the passage. Okay? And when I say my thoughts, I don't mean, you know, my ideas. I mean, when I meditate on the passage, here's some things I would point out to you about God's word, about what it says. I want to give you those thoughts from the time I spent meditating on the passage. And then secondly, after that, I want to make application to all of us, but specifically to dads today. All right? So let's begin with that first part, my thoughts from meditating on the passage. Number one, in this passage of Scripture, it is insinuated that God provided for his people to have the bread that they need. It's insinuated that God is providing for his people the bread that they want and need. Look at what it says. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Now, that's not a promise that anytime you till the land, you're going to get, you know, all the crops you've ever wanted, everything you've tried will work out perfectly, and then you'll have enough bread from the wheat that you grew. It's not that kind of a promise. It is a principle. Listen, if you'll do this, this is the natural outcome of it. When you sow something, there is a reaping time that comes from that. And it's insinuated that God is providing for his people. Let me talk to you about the three things that I see in this passage that are provided, that are insinuated in verse number 11. First of all, it's insinuated there that God has provided land. There is a land that is able to be tilled. Not just enough for a garden, but enough to supply for the family bread that will last throughout the year. There is land that God has provided. The second thing that's insinuated in the passage is that God has also provided seed that will grow into wheat or whatever the crop might be that you could make into bread. But it is insinuated there that God also has provided seed. And isn't it a miracle how God does that? I thought about that the other day as I sat in my backyard. And just a couple of weeks ago, it was the time when the cottonwoods are proving why they're called cottonwoods. And just watching all of that cotton go through the air makes your allergies flare up, doesn't it? If you suffer with allergies. And I sat in my backyard. There's a big cottonwood tree that has sprouted up in a open field near us. And I watched as this little seed from that cottonwood floated through the air. And I thought, what an amazing thing that God provided that type of tree, and all the others as well, would have a way that their kind would continue to exist in a cycle. Here's this big tree that probably in, you know, many, many years will die, right? They live a long time, cottonwoods do, but eventually it's going to die. But there will be another one that will grow up in its place. God provided. And God did that, and that's insinuated here, that God's also provided seed, that when you till, you're also throwing in the seed as well. God provided land, he provided seed. And then the third thing that's insinuated is God provided strength. The ability to till the land. It says, he that tilleth his land shall be filled with bread. Well, that's insinuating. Then the person who has the land and has the seed, then God must give them strength. And God does. And every bit of strength that we have, whether you are a farmer out actually tilling ground and planting seed, which I don't know of anybody here who is, or whether you are a programmer of some kind and typing on keyboards all day, God provides you that strength. Or whatever it is, the job that you have, God provides the strength for you to do that. That's insinuated here in the passage. There's a second thought that I had when meditating on the passage. The second one is that some, according to our passage, it's insinuated, that some chose the hard labor of tilling the ground. Some chose the hard labor of tilling the ground. It says here again, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Now, if you know about the type of agrarian society that they had in the Bible days, especially in the time of the Proverbs, you know that that was not getting out on a tractor with air conditioning and GPS and lights and all the rest. And aren't you thankful that we have tractors that can do that kind of stuff now? They're able to get so much more yield out of a piece of ground because they're able to have that tractor go in exactly the right place, and the discs that that big tractor can carry are just huge. It's amazing what we can get out of the ground these days. But in those days, they didn't have that. There was no air conditioning for them behind that mule that was plowing. Here's some things about someone who would choose the hard labor of tilling. Number one, I would say this, it was very dull work. It was dull work. Not exciting, dull. Hours upon hours behind a horse, a mule, whatever it might be, an ox, pulling that plow or allowing the ox to pull it. Hard work, dull work. Also, there was sweat involved. There was sweat involved. God said that when he cursed the ground for Adam's sin. He said, in the sweat of your brow, you'll eat your bread. This was hard work. It was dull work. It was sweaty work. Let me say this. The person who chose the hard labor of tilling had aching muscles when the day was done. We don't have that much in these days anymore, do we? We have aching muscles, but it's because we don't use them and we just got out of the chair wrong. But in those days, and I'm with you on that, by the way, I'm as lazy as the next guy. But in those days, especially for someone who was in an agrarian society like that, listen, they worked hard. My grandparents were like that, and most of yours were as well. At the end of the day, their muscles ached from the hard work of it. Somebody chose the hard labor of tilling, dull work, sweat, aching muscles. Here's something else to think about. Broken tools. Broken tools. When they went about the hard work of tilling, things broke. It's the natural part of working and having tools. They don't last forever. And at times, you can imagine somebody behind an ox, and that ox is pulling a big plow, and he's holding on to that plow, and there's aching muscles and sweat, and all of a sudden, a rock is hit, and the plow breaks, and he has to stop, and he has to walk however many hundred yards or whatever to the home where he has some spare parts or tools, and he can fix that. You can imagine that it means that the day is laborious. It means that his work now is going to have to go later because the tool broke, and it's all because he took the job of the hard labor of tilling. But here's the thing. Not only was it dull work with sweat, aching muscles, and broken tools, but at the end of it all, there was satisfaction of bread. The hard work of tilling resulted in satisfaction with bread. That's what it says in verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Was it worth it? Yes. Was it hard? Yes. But there was bread at the end. Now, the third thought that I have when meditating on the passage is this. It is insinuated that some chose the fun of following vain persons instead of the hard work of tilling. It says at the end of verse 11, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Vain just means empty, frivolous, not having any real meaning. So it's insinuated in the passage that not everybody chooses the hard work of tilling. Now, why wouldn't they choose the hard work of tilling? I don't like aching muscles. Sweating is not my favorite thing to do. I hate fixing broken tools. So some people, instead of choosing the hard work of tilling, chose to be lazy and just follow vain people. You see, when you don't till, you don't have the aching muscles. You're not sweaty. You can still smell like Irish spring soap. And aren't we all glad to smell like that? You don't have to stink and deal with the cramps that you get at the end of the night when you've sweat so much that you're a little bit dehydrated. There's no broken tools. The tools are sitting in the shop, and they're as shiny as they were the day you bought them, and they look good, and there's nothing to fix. Listen, the person who chose the fun of following vain persons had laughter. It was a good time. Fun was all around. But here's the problem. Because they did not till the land was left to itself. Let me say that again. Because they did not till the land, it was left to itself. And land left to itself does not produce bread. Have you figured that out yet? It does not produce bread. Now, there will be some things that God just put in nature that the land will produce. We all understand that. We can forage for food. But I don't know about you. I don't necessarily enjoy eating the things that sometimes you see people on these wilderness channels or whatever, or they're talking about how to survive when the economy crashes, and they say you can eat this little plant here. Ooh, that looks great. I would rather have bread, which means somebody has to till. But the land is left to itself, which means there's no bread. Let's look at Proverbs 24. Keep your place in Proverbs chapter 12. Look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, look at verse 30. What happens when the land is left to itself because people follow vain persons? Remember, the one who follows vain persons is said to be void of understanding. In other words, they don't have understanding. You'll see that same phrase here in Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. The same person, isn't it? Verse 31. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And here's the instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. We might sum verse 33 up by saying just a little bit of laziness. Verse 34, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You see, the land was left to itself by the person who chose the fun of following vain persons. But here's what happened when the land was left to itself. Weeds came up. Thorns and thistles. The ground is hardened. And if you've ever started a garden, you know that the hardest part many times is getting it started and getting the ground broken up to where it can actually produce a decent amount of food. And every year, even if you don't plant a garden, you want to keep tilling that ground, otherwise it'll get hard fast. And so the garden or the land is hardened now, and there's more work in the future. And then it says the stone wall is broken down in verse 20 or in chapter 24, which means that wild animals are able to come in and out and mess everything up. There's no barrier, there's no protection. And then lastly, there's no harvest because the ground is left to itself. Was it more fun? Yes. Was the end result worth it? I would submit to you, no. So those are my thoughts regarding the passage, that God provided for bread, some chose the hard labor of tilling, and some chose the fun of following vain persons. Now let me give you the second part of the message, which is an application to all of us. Number one, Our fields, or let me put it this way, we have some fields that have been provided by God. We have some fields that have been provided by God. And here are the quote-unquote fields that God gave to me to give to you, I believe. Number one, your spiritual life. Your spiritual life. It takes work. It's Bible reading and prayer. It's church attendance. It's being careful with what you watch and what you listen to and keeping your mind and your heart on the Lord and walking closely with Him and confessing sin to Him when you fall into sin and getting right and witnessing to others. Your spiritual life, that is a field that you and I each have. We might even look at another one that is a field provided by God, church and ministry. Church and ministry. This church is a field that will provide bread for you and your family. But listen, you've got to invest in it. Let me say that again. This is a field that God is giving you. Are you investing in it, or are you just leaving it? I'm not talking about investing in money, although certainly there could be an application there. I'm talking about investing in it as in tilling the land, helping it along. Or are you just expecting others to do it and enjoying the bread that comes from the fact that they do? It's a field that God has given us. But here's the real application that I want to get to today. This is how God really spoke to me from this passage as I was reading through Proverbs this week. For each of us as fathers, the field that I believe God would have us focus on this morning is this: our wife and our children. Our wife and our children. And it is a field that God has given to us that He wants to use to be a blessing to us and to others. That God wants to bring glory and honor to His name. He wants to have a harvest through our wife and our children. And it is up to us to till the land. And I want to encourage each of the dads here, men, husbands, fathers today, to make the choice to till that field, your wife and your children. And you'll understand what I'm talking about in a little bit. The second application that I want to make to you is not only the fields that God has given to us, but here's where God spoke to me in this area. What are our vain persons? Remember how in the passage, Proverbs 12:11, he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding? What are the vain persons that we can follow? What are the empty people? The people who are leading us into frivolous things. How is that an app, or what is the application of that today for you and me? Now, you could probably come up with many of them, but here's where God spoke to me. And that is this. The biggest, I think, vain person that we have in today's world is technology. I think that is the biggest vain person in America today that we battle with, technology. I almost called the message, technology is killing us, but I decided not to. And I'm not saying that we should all buy some compound somewhere and not have any television or phones and live like the Amish, and you guys are going to be out there tilling bread while I sit on a throne, someone's fanning me with palm leaves and feeding me grapes while the minions work hard. We're not going to do that, okay? You don't want to follow me into the wilderness. We would all die. I'm not saying that technology is something we shouldn't use and it's of the devil. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it can be a vain person in our life. And I believe that for many of us, it is a vain person that's causing us not to till the land that God has given us. And here's the areas of technology that I believe are killing us in this area, quote unquote. Number one, and this is probably the biggest, social media. Social media is a vain person. Listen, it's vain. It's empty. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a social media account. There are some good things that can be done through that. Our church has a Facebook page and a YouTube channel and things like that. We try to use that for getting the gospel out. But it is one of the biggest areas that I see God's people wasting time. It's vain persons. And I honestly saw this recently where I saw a man that I greatly respect who's a preacher of the gospel who in heaven's going to probably have way more rewards than I will. But I saw him get into a spat verbally back and forth on social media with somebody else who's somebody that I respect and think the world of over something ridiculous. And here's what I thought to myself. You guys are grown men. What in the world are you doing spending your time on social media? Get off. There are better things to do with your time than argue with one another on social media. Grow up and go till the land. And boy, there's an application there for all of us, isn't it? We need to set aside vain persons and till the land that God has given us. Here's another area that, boy, we battle with: texts and emails. Sometimes as a pastor, texts and emails can draw me away from tilling the land that God has given me of many areas, but I'm thinking specifically today of my family and my wife. And I can spend time with them, and if I'm not careful, that machine that I hold in my hand will suck me in, and I've got to communicate with this person and that person, answer this and answer that. And my family is right there. There's an opportunity for me to till the land with my family, and I'm sucked into this little device that I hold in my hand. And the days go by, and the hours move on, and I'm not tilling the land. I'm following vain persons. Not that I'm doing evil things. You don't have to do evil things to follow vain persons, but just things that are not the priority of the day. And when I'm with my family and it's family time, the priority is tilling the land of my wife and children. We talk about YouTube videos and getting sucked into YouTube videos, and that one's probably the biggest battle for me because I like to learn. And there's so much you can learn. But if I'm not careful, it is, I'll be honest with you, it is an addiction that if I'm not careful, I will get sucked in immediately. I'm prone to it. But it's vain persons. Hour after hour after hour of watching people say the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Just a new voice, just a new way, and I'm not tilling the land that God gave. TV is another big one. And then just to sum it all up, I would say smartphones in general. Have they been a blessing? Absolutely. Do I hate it? Yes. Many of you would probably agree with me. It would be fun if I felt like I could get away with it to take my phone to Lake Mendota and just throw it in. Number one, the EPA would be after me. Can't throw that battery in that lake. That's a bad thing. But number two, I really need it for work. But boy, that thing sucks me in. And I watch today, if you're like me, you go to a restaurant, you see mom with the kids, or mom and dad with the kids, or dad with the kids, or whatever it might be, or maybe it's just mom and dad, and they're out on a date or a family activity, and they're sitting at the restaurant, and everybody is on a stupid little device. And dad's not tilling the land. Somebody else is tilling the land for his kids. Somebody else is teaching his kids how they ought to think and how they ought to act and what they ought to say and what's important. And dad's too busy following vain persons, and right in front of him, his field is being left to others. What a shame that is. He that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. I want to encourage you to make the choice to till. And so that brings me to my third point in the application of the message, and that's this. We need to leave behind vain persons and get busy about tilling the land that God gave us. Be busy about tilling the land that God gave us, specifically about our families. Men, let me encourage you with this. Turn to Proverbs 29, if you would. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Remember we said that the man who chose, or the person who chose the fun of following vain persons, left the land to itself. Think about that phrase and read with me Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That means when mom, yes, but dad specifically, when dad's not involved, when he just kind of lets things go, when he, listen, let me make an even further application, when he just lets mom deal with the kids, he's leaving the land to itself. You might say, but my wife is fully capable. She's intelligent. She's able to deal with these things. I agree with you, but she's not the one that God made the head of the home. It's not mom's job to raise the kids. It's dad's job to raise the kids. Now, mom does all of the nurturing and the helping and all of that. I realize that. And especially in our society today, dad oftentimes is off having to work outside the home and mom is homeschooling or doing whatever. But dad, you ought to be involved in every possible way and you ought to be the one really controlling things. And if you don't, even if mom is doing a good job, listen, you're leaving that child to himself. And a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Are we seeing that a little bit in society today? How are kids doing in society today now that our society has decided to leave them to themselves? Well, let's see here. School shootings are up a bunch. I'd be interested to find out how many of the school shooters where it was a kid that went in, and whether it's his school or a nearby school, and shot people up, how many of those kids who had a dad, saved or not, who was involved in their life? I don't know the statistic, but I have a feeling I could guess. And I would guess the answer is awful close to zero. School shootings are up, right? Well, how about this? How about kids not knowing whether they're male or female and thinking that they can switch from one to the other? Is that up just a little bit? A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Kids aren't old enough to figure that stuff out. That's why we're seeing these things. See, a child left to himself and Satan comes along and says, I've got it. And here's the interesting thing about it, and I don't know why God does this, but even a dad who does not know Christ, who's lost, if he's involved, there's a certain level of protection around that family. Satan's not able to do everything he could because God designed that dad is the head of the home. Now, a saved dad is much better, but even a lost dad is better than nothing. And Satan will be kept at bay to some extent. Because God made dad the head of the home. And you see, because we're following vain persons, our children are leading us to shame. And I would encourage you, don't do that. Till the land. Be involved. Listen, less fun right now. Is it work to have kids? My wife and I got married when we were young, as many of you did, by the way. And pretty much right away, not immediately, but within a few months, she was pregnant with Daniel. And our life since then has been about raising kids, period, end of story. And some ministry on the side is what it's felt like. But it has been about raising kids, not a lot of fun. And those first years, by the way, were especially that way because we were far from family. We had no one to babysit. We had some anniversaries where we spent them at home. We had one that we would remember a lot, where we lined up a babysitter, and the day of our anniversary, she canceled on us. And so, well, sweetheart, it's a romantic dinner at home with the kids. But it has been such a blessing. Now, we've got a long way to go, and please pray for us that God would allow us and give us wisdom to do it right so that when our kids are full grown, they can provide bread, not just for us, but for God's glory. Pray for us. But it has been a blessing to see them, at least for now, be headed in a direction of serving the Lord. It has been worth it. Less fun and more work. But here's the thing, a great reward at harvest. Turn with me, let's look at two passages of Scripture. Proverbs 29 and verse 17. We already looked at verse 15, where it says that a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. By the way, verse 15 does begin with the rod and reproof. The rod has to do with corporal punishment, still in the Bible. I don't care what anybody says about it. Corporal punishment is still in the Bible. And it's still right to do. There you go. It's quiet in here, but it's still truth. I don't care. God needs His word to be proclaimed. Amen? And the truth ought to be said whether people like it or not. And I don't mean you. I mean, I know our society thinks, boy, that is so backward. But our society is dumb. They've got it wrong. Corporal punishment is still in the Bible. And I'm still going to teach it till the day I die with God's help. Verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. That flies in the face of what our culture says today, doesn't it? Just let your child be what they want to be, and you affirm where they are. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says correct. That means that there are times where with my children, I need to tell them, son, you are wrong. And I don't have to be mean about it. I know you think I'm always mean because I yell a lot when I'm up here. I'm actually a nice guy. And I try to generally be nice to my kids, and I only am firm with them if I absolutely have to, which now the older they get, the less I have to be real hard on them because I have a good relationship with them. But I still have to, even in that good relationship, say to my children who are still in my home, son, you're wrong. Don't do that. Do this. And when they begin to think something, if it's wrong, I say, no, that's a lie. Don't do that. Correct thy son. And what will happen if I will do that? Well, according to verse 17, he'll give delight unto my soul. That means that at the end of it all, I can look and say, man, what a blessing. And I can tell you this. I've watched other parents, thinking specifically of the missionary that my wife and I worked with when we were new missionaries in Mexico, and Brother Dorr, we support him in our church. And at the time that we went, he had two kids who were adults and out of the home, and he had two kids who were still in the home, and they were teenagers. And I watched those kids, Micah and Annie, and I said to my wife, and I said to Brother Dorr, I want my kids to turn out like Micah and Annie. Those kids, teenagers now, far away from America, missionaries in a third world country, and they were happy and joyful. They served the Lord. They had a smile on their face. They loved mom and dad. They had a good time serving the Lord. They weren't lazy. They weren't glued to their phone. They were having a good time in life and enjoyable people to be around. They were the kind that lit up a room when you were around them. And I told my wife and I told Brother Dorr, I want my kids to be just like that. They gave delight to not only their dad, but to everyone who was around them. Because Brother Dorr tilled the land that God gave him. Are you tilling the land? One more passage of scripture, Psalm 127 and 128. Short psalms. But these are the psalms that I generally try to read if I get an opportunity when one of our young families is given a child, and if they're still in the hospital when I'm able to visit them, I try to read Psalm 127 and 128 with them. Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Notice that. They're not a pain in the neck. They're not the worst thing that ever happened to you and your wife and your marriage. No, they are a blessing from God. Verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. God likens children to arrows. What are arrows used for? Battle. Why are arrows better than spears in battle? Because you can get the enemy while he's over there. You can fight the enemy that's here, but the reinforcements that are on their way, you can get them also before they get to you. You see, you can take an arrow and you can shoot it in a distance. And the Bible likens children to having a quiver that's full of arrows, and the idea is that that man can not only get the enemy here where he is, and he can fight the enemy here, but he can get the enemy over there with one arrow, over there with another arrow, over there with another arrow, and maybe even behind him if the enemy is trying to flank him. You see, the arrows are, I can shoot them over there and do damage over there. And you and I, in this world that we live in, our enemy is not a person or people, it's Satan. And God wants us to till our land so that our children can be used as arrows to fight the wicked one, not just where we are, but we can send them to the mission field or to the job site. And they can do battle against the wicked one in places I'll never get to visit. That's what God wants of us. Some of you today in this very auditorium have some children that you raised. Not perfectly, I know you're not a perfect parent like I'm not a perfect parent, but you did the best you could. You tilled the land, and even right now they're fighting the wicked one in other places, and some of them are right up the road here in DeForest right now fighting the wicked one in a place you can't be. That's a blessing from God. Look at Psalm 128. We read it for our scripture. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Why olive plants? Because olive plants provide olive oil. And oil, in the days in which this psalm was written, was a sign of wealth. If you were a wealthy person, you had olive plants that would provide olive oil, because olive oil is not necessary for eating. You can eat bread without oil. But it's like we would use the term icing on the cake. If you're a wealthy person in this society that Psalms was written in, then you were able to do like we do, because we're a wealthy society, and that is, we just pour olive oil on for dressing. It just makes it that much more enjoyable to eat. And listen, if we fear the Lord and we till our land, God's promises, your children will be like olive plants. They'll provide just blessings that are abundant for you. And someday, if you're a young father here today, you'll be able to live, hopefully, by God's grace, to an old age, and you'll watch, and just watching your children serve the Lord and be godly people and be a blessing to society, be a blessing to the church, be a blessing to you. Bring the grandkids to your home maybe every once in a while, and you watch your grandkids being raised for the Lord, and you'll be able to say, boy, what a great life God has given me. But friends, right now, you know what it's going to take? Work. You can't follow vain persons. You're going to have to set the electronic devices aside. You're going to have to get off YouTube or Facebook or whatever the thing is, and you're going to have to maybe every once in a while silence the phone so texts and emails don't get through, and you're going to have to stop those things that you do for fun because, after all, I need me time. No. If you've got kids at home, you don't get me time till the kids go to bed. By the way, send them to bed early. That helps. But if the kids are up and around, it's tilling the ground time. The me time will come later when you get to enjoy the blessings for all of the work that you put in. He that tilleth his land shall be filled with bread. Let's pray.